Well, hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Porter, and I'm one of the pastors for Faith Community Church. Thank you, and welcome to FCC Online. Some of you are joining us for the first time. Others of you joined us last week for Easter. Some of you have been with us for the whole ride, and I'm just so glad that you're joining here with us this morning. And we look forward to being together very soon. But right now, we are one church meeting in many living rooms all over the world in many ways, which is pretty cool. And hey, I just want to let you know that I just want to commend you for joining in with us this morning. During this time, it'd be really easy to just sort of put church on the back burner, especially when we're not able to gather together, but you chose to join up with us today, and I am so glad that you chose to do that. I commend you, and we're praying that God would move and work in our time together and change us right here, right now, as we live together and as we go through these times together. Today, we are beginning a new series that it's based on the teaching of Jesus we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is three chapters long, and though Jesus did a lot of teaching in a lot of different places, this is one collection of one sermon that he gave that talks about basically a summary of everything that he taught in other places. And so we're excited to be going through this today. And we planned out this series back in the fall, and I am so glad that we're going through it right now in this season. Because as I've looked at this sermon over and over and over again in the last few weeks, it has just really dawned on me that I think there's some things here that Jesus teaches us in this sermon that we are able to learn now that we might not have been able to learn 3 months ago when things were normal. See, Jesus gave this sermon at a time in history when there was high anxiety. There was a lot of unrest, deep frustration, and people were looking for hope in the midst of uncertain times. And Jesus gave this sermon, and in talking to them about these things that are true, they're just as true today as they were back then. And Jesus, in this sermon, is focused on helping us live fulfilling lives. Live fulfilling lives right here, right now. See, one of the things that's amazing about Jesus is not just a teacher. And he's a great teacher, but he's more than a teacher because he says that he is God. That he's God who came and became a human being and lived with us to talk to us about the way things really are. About how the world really is, about how we really are, about who God really is. And he's the only one who's able to do that. The reason why Jesus is such an amazing teacher is because he's God who's come to restore relationship with him. Now, you've maybe not read the Sermon on the Mount before, but I guarantee that you've heard pieces of it because it's been that influential in history. Wherever you are, raise your hand if this is true of you. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Do not judge, lest you be judged"? Yeah, me too. How about the phrase, "Turn the other cheek"? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Yeah, those phrases come from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching us how to really live as human beings, because this is what the world is like, and this is what God is like. So I'm excited for us today. This is one of the questions I want to ask you today. Could it be that today God wants to teach you something about him, about you, and about the world and how to live that he can only teach you during this time and not in any other time? Let's not miss this opportunity, and let's learn together what Jesus says about how to live a fulfilling, satisfying life, not only when times are good, but especially when times are hard. We're looking at Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12 this morning, and you can open up your Bibles there if you have that with you, or you can use your app as well, your Bible app as well on your phone or your mobile device. We also have an app on our website now, right below the screen that you're watching on, if you're on fcchudson.com and watching the live stream from there, that you can type in the Bible passage, and Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12 will come up as well. I also want to give you a moment to get some paper or pen or open up your notes app too, because there's some things that Jesus wants to teach us here that I really want you to capture, that we need to capture and really let them sink into our hearts. So again, kids too, young adults, if you're by yourself, if you're with a group, get out some paper and a pen or some crayons or some markers or your Bible app as well. And we're going to look at Matthew 5 verses 1 through 12. And here it goes. Seeing the crowds, he, that is Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened up his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice. Be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, as we look at this passage, just want to begin to see that Jesus is for you. Jesus is for you and Jesus is for me. Jesus is for our happiness, our fulfillment, our satisfaction in life. And this is not a trite thing. Once we grab this, it changes our relationship to Jesus and how we listen to him, because he's trying to teach us how to have a fulfilling life right here, right now. And it all is wrapped up with this one word that is repeated over and over again in this passage. If you look at verses 3 through 12 again, notice that each of those verses, those sentences, begins with one word. Now, wherever you are meeting right now, say out loud what that one word is that begins every sentence. It's the word blessed. Now, we might not hear the word blessed as a word that's talking about satisfaction and fulfillment and talking about happiness. We sort of hear it as a religious word, especially if you say it blessed, as I sometimes do as I'm reading through these words. I can say blessed or blessed, or maybe you know the word blessed because it's hashtag blessed and you talk about how happy you are for something in life, or someone sneezes around you and you, hopefully they put the sneeze into their elbow and you say blessed you, right? It sounds like a churchy word or a religious word, but the word blessed is not a churchy word or a religious word. In fact, in Jesus' day, when Jesus was teaching, the word blessed talked about how to have a happy, satisfying, fulfilling life. So as we hear Jesus' words today, remember that he's for you right here, right now, experiencing a fulfilling, satisfying, happy life. Because it's not just us in our cultural moment that have been wanting a happy life. Everyone in human history wants a happy life. And Jesus is talking about how to experience it. So this is the first thing I'd like you to take down. This is the first reversal of what Jesus is going to do, a reversal of priorities, which is what this Sermon on the Mount is about. A reversal of priorities. It's an honest and important challenge that Jesus gives to us. He says this: fulfillment begins in disappointment. Fulfillment begins in disappointment. Now, for many of us, this cultural moment, this time that we are in, is creating all kinds of loss for us and disappointment. Graduations are being canceled. Graduation ceremonies are being canceled. Vacations are being canceled. Furloughed from work. There is all kinds of disappointment going on in our lives right here, right now. We want to return back to normal. We will return back to a new normal. But what I want to ask you to do, and what Jesus is inviting us to do, is not to miss this moment that you and I are in right now, because God wants to teach us some things that we can experience and we can learn through this time. And what he wants us to experience and to know is that in disappointment, we can actually begin to experience fulfillment because of this. For most of our lives, we've been told that you only live once, and if you only live once, you have to live for this moment. You have to live for the good things in this moment, and that the good things, if you really get them, if you get the good things in life right here, right now, you will be fulfilled. And what Jesus is telling us is that's not actually true. Right now, we are learning more than ever that our world is profoundly broken. Profoundly broken. And it's in this moment that you and I can actually start to experience the fulfillment that Jesus created us to experience. Notice one of the verses here, one of the blessings says, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. There's a lot of mourning and sadness going on right now. And do you know what our sadness reveals to us? It's not just that we're losing things that are important to us and we care about. Our sadness, our heart's sadness, also shows us that you and I have very high expectations for fulfillment and meaning and satisfaction in this life. But the world, this life that we have right now, is not actually able to fully deliver on those expectations that you and I have. Now pay attention to this, because this is so important for us if we're going to understand how to live a fulfilling life. Because the disappointment isn't only when we lose something good. If you pay attention, there's actually a disappointment even when we experience something good in life. There's a man named C.S. Lewis who lived in the 20th century, and at one point in time, he was an atheist, which means he didn't believe that there was such a thing as a God. He was very convinced of that. But then later on, he became a Christian, and one of the reasons why he became a Christian is that he started to realize that there was something in his heart that he longed for that this life actually couldn't deliver on. He wrote this, he said these things: "There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give us lasting happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment in life. But they never keep their promise," he says. See, there are these longings, he writes, there are these longings which arise in us when we first fall in love, or we first start thinking about traveling to a new spot and a vacation, or we take up a new hobby that promises to give us all kinds of delight. But he says there are longings, those longings in us are there, and no marriage, no matter how good it is, no marriage or no travel or no learning or no hobby nor no work, meaningful work, can actually satisfy the longings that we have in our hearts. And he means by this the best of marriages, the best of vacations, the best of our jobs. There is always something that we've grasped at, he says. In that first moment of longing, and then it just fades away when we actually get the reality that we're looking for. A spouse might be great, a scenery or a vacation may be excellent, but there's still something there in our hearts that we want more. He's most famously said this. Please pay attention to your own heart about this. He said, most people, if they really learn how to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want strongly, something that cannot be had in this world. Now, have you seen that in your heart? Have you paid attention to it, not just in the disappointment, but also in the good things? You are searching for something that this world cannot fully deliver to. And that leads to disappointment, even in the good things. And you know what? As hard as it is, it's okay. It's okay. Because this is what C.S. Lewis goes on to say. If you pay attention to those desires, he says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. He says, there's a desire of hunger in you, right? You're hungry, and so there's such a thing as food. There's a sexual desire that you have, and there's such a thing as sex. If there's a desire for something in you that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that you and me, everyone, were made for a different world, a world different than the one that we now live in. And Jesus says, if we mourn right now, we mourn knowing that this world is not what we're made to live in ultimately. We mourn the loss of good things. He says that we'll be comforted. And that comfort is not just that he will personally comfort you in a relationship with him right here, right now. He'll comfort you. But even more, notice what Jesus says, they shall be comforted. What Jesus is talking about here is that there is a comfort that he promises to you and me that is a whole nother world, a new world, one that you and I are made for, one where there is no disappointment. Now, last week we celebrated Easter. And in Easter, we talk about how Jesus died for us and he rose again for us. And so that when you and I believe in Jesus, even though we die, he will raise us again. But Jesus is bigger than just simply trying to raise us from the dead, which is huge and important and great and marvelous. But he's bigger than that. He came not simply to raise us from the dead. He came to remake the whole world. Jesus says this in the second to last chapter of the last book of the Bible, we read this, I make all things new. I make all things new. And the all things there is everything. He makes a new heavens and a new earth. So just as God created this heaven and this earth that we live in right now, the promise because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the promise is that you and I will live in the world that we're ultimately made to live in. Heaven and earth will be remade. No more tears. No more sadness. No more pain. No more crisis. God will wipe away every tear. That's the comfort. That's the comfort. Now, every tombstone has a birth date on it and a death date on it. And in between is there's this dash. And what you and I have been told for so long, and one of the stories of our culture is this, live for the dash. You only live once. Live for that dash. And if you get what you're really looking for, you will actually be satisfied. Jesus says, don't live for the dash. It doesn't actually work, and your heart knows it. Listen to Jesus. Living for the dash creates selfishness. And what Jesus says is, don't live for the dash. Live for the time, the eternity after the dash. Put your hope there. Listen to the disappointment and let it lead you to Jesus, who says, I will comfort you one day fully and completely. Now, here's another reversal that Jesus gives us. It's this. He says, the more heavenly minded, the more earthly good. The more heavenly minded, the more earthly good. See, one of the things that can happen is that people think that, well, if you just think about heaven all the time, and Jesus teaches about heaven, it's just this way of escapism, and you're actually not going to deal with reality. Jesus says, actually, believing in heaven is dealing with reality, because our hearts aren't actually made to get our full satisfaction here. And so the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we actually are. The more we're actually going to live better in the dash. Notice what Jesus says here about how we live right now if we believe heaven is coming and he secures it for us. He says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble, the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. The more you and I believe that heaven is coming and we are secure in believing that we will be there with Jesus, the more humble we become today, the more pure in heart we become today, the more merciful we become today, the more we're caring about peacemaking today. You know, we're all right now dealing with all kinds of frustration. All kinds of frustration. And with this frustration, we can easily become irritable. The things that months ago would lead to frustration, now with the current crisis that we're in, there's even more frustration that we're experiencing, and the small frustrations become massive frustrations. This last week, I was working through my sermon. You know, every time as I'm developing a sermon, Pastor Tim Prince will tell you this as well, you come to this point in the week where it's like you're just frustrated because it's not coming together the way you think it needs to come together, and Sunday's always coming. And you get frustrated, and I get a little irritable as I'm trying to work it through and trying to figure out, how is this sermon going to come together? Well, this Thursday, that was happening to me, and I knew that Sunday was coming. But then on top of that, I heard the news that the governor of Wisconsin extended the safer at home order. And so what was a usual frustration became a very significant frustration. I was very irritable. I didn't lash out, but my family knew that I was irritable. On Thursday night, I went to bed knowing that my sermon wasn't ready yet and trying to plan out when I could get it to that point. And trying to fall asleep, I just knew I'm not going to fall asleep. So about 11:15 at night, I got up and I went back down into my study and just started to write and pray and just try to help this thing come together. And about midnight, our oldest son, Levi, came out of his room. He was playing some Xbox with some buds. And he's like, hey, what are you doing awake? And I just said, you know, I'm working on my sermon. It just wasn't ready yet, and I need to work on it. And he could tell that it was coming together for me. And he goes, wow. He said, yeah, I can tell right now that it's coming together. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, earlier today, you were just really, really irritated. And you're different right now. Do you notice that in the frustration, we have a choice on how to live, Jesus says. In the growing frustration, we can be selfish or we can be selfless, humble, meek. We can be pure in heart or we can go online and we can watch things, pornography and those types of things of trying to escape, or we can be pure in heart. We can be angry and easily lash out at other people and easily irritated, or we can be merciful. We can pick fights with our family members or with our coworkers, or we can be peacemakers. And Jesus says, right here, right now, you and I have an opportunity to learn to be peacemakers, extending mercy, pure in heart, selfless, when all the frustration is saying, be focused on yourself. So no matter who you are or where you are right now, I just want you to take a moment of these areas. humble selflessness, pure in heart, merciful, being a peacemaker. Where is Jesus right here, right now? Where is he saying he wants you to start working on these things right now? Just choose one. What's the one that he's telling you? Would you write that down? And start talking to Jesus about that. Jesus, teach me this week to be a peacemaker. Teach me this week to be merciful. Help me this week to be selfless and not just care about myself. If you're in a small group discipleship, or if you're meeting in one of our small groups, we call the missional communities, or meeting online right now, if you're meeting with one of those, write this word down and then share it this week as you gather together online, or as you talk on the phone, share it with that person that's helping you and discipling you and walking with you during this time to help you look more like Jesus. Share it with them and say, this is what Jesus is asking me to do and showing me where I need to change right now in this moment. Here's the last reversal. Heaven is a gift that we don't earn. Now, maybe you've thought this way, maybe you think this way right now. I know I have, and it's still in my heart at times. And it's this, that really good people get heaven and really bad people get hell. And with that idea then is we have to become really, really good and sort of earn God's favor. And if we become really, really good in life, and we do really, really good things in life, then we're going to get heaven. We'll have God's love. But if we do really bad things in life, then we're going to get hell. Jesus doesn't teach that at all. This is a reversal. Jesus doesn't teach that at all. He teaches something very different. He teaches something about grace and mercy. Notice this verse here. I think it's verse 3 for us. Yeah. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who gets the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says? Those who are poor in spirit. Now, what Jesus means by poor in spirit is that somebody, he's talking about someone who's spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. They don't have a penny to their name, and they owe a great debt. We owe a great debt spiritually to God because you and I have messed up in so many ways. Everyone is poor in spirit. The poor in spirit have lived selfishly. We've lived for the right here, right now. The poor in spirit have made arguments. We've hurt people. We've not been merciful. We needed to be merciful. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And this is the good news. This is the amazing news. This is the great reversal. Jesus says, if you're poor in spirit and you know it, if you know you have nothing to show God and say, God, this is why I'm so good and why you should have me. If you know that you have nothing, yours is the kingdom of heaven because you are in a spot where you understand grace. See, Jesus didn't come to us to simply teach us about heaven or teach us about God. He did those things. He came to us to live the life that you and I are supposed to live. He's always merciful. He's always a peacemaker. To die the death that you and I deserve to die because we've sinned against him. And to rise again so that you and I get what we don't deserve. See, Jesus got what he didn't deserve. He got a cross. He got death. So that you and I can receive as a gift something that we didn't earn. Something that Jesus earned for us. He earned for us heaven and he gives it to us as a gift. Will you receive Jesus and will you receive his gift? Reversal. You can experience fulfillment and happiness in life knowing that this life isn't all that there is. Knowing that you've been made to be selfless and humble and to seek to serve others. And knowing as well and experiencing the poverty of spirit and that Jesus earned for you heaven so that you and I can receive it as a gift. It's amazing grace. Jesus teaches and secures amazing grace for you and me. Grace for heaven and grace for right now to learn to live a fulfilling life as Jesus describes. Wherever you are, would you please close your eyes? I'd like to pray for us and pray for you before we continue on singing one last song. Would you please close your eyes with me? Father, thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. I pray that wherever people are in their living rooms or we are one church scattered all over the place. And I ask that you would meet us right where we are. You would be teaching us and showing us, equipping us how to live for you, reminding us of your goodness, of your presence. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.